With that, we're going to move on to our scripture reading for today. And I believe we are going to go to the book of 1 Peter for our lesson today. 1 Peter, and I am going to read chapter 1, just two little verses, the first two verses, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These two little short verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Let's stop for a word of prayer right here. Father, it's been a long time since we've been together and since I've been able to speak a new word to the people here. And Father, I ask that you bless the words that I'm about to speak, and may your scriptures, may your word really penetrate each and every one of our hearts here today, Lord, throughout these times. And we give you the glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, it seems like forever since we were in our expository study of the book of Galatians. Remember that, where we went verse by verse back in March? Well, I promise you, we are going to return back there next week, okay? Next week. But today, I have to take the time today to speak to all of us about our present world situation. And so I've titled today's message, well, that's the scripture reading. I've titled today's message, A Million Questions. A Million Questions. It comes as no surprise to all of us in here that we live in strange times. Amen? We live in strange times. We all know what is happening with this thing out there that we have officially called the coronavirus global pandemic. And it's global because it's worldwide. We've all been watching the news. We've all been reading the newspapers. And we've all been cruising our social media outlets for the next interesting bit of information. And as a result of all that, we probably have a million questions, because I know I have quite a few myself. And I know that we have a million questions because I've been asking them, you've been asking them. And I'm just going to give you an example of maybe some of the questions that you have been asking, because these are some of the questions I know that I've been asking. Questions like this: is it really as bad as they say it is? Another one: are the numbers and the number of cases that are being reported, are they true, or are these numbers being inflated so that the states can receive more money? Or how about this one? Could this whole pandemic just be a quest of some sort towards this thing called a new one world order? Or could it just be a political movement against our president? And Christians may be asking this question: is this event, is this coronavirus threat, is this ushering in the end times? And will we soon see the return of Jesus Christ? We've all asked this question: why are liquor stores considered essential? While privately owned businesses whose family income relies solely on that business's remaining open, why do they have to close down? Fair question. Why can Home Depot and Lowe's and Walmart have 300 people going up and down their aisles, some wearing masks and others not wearing masks, when a church that holds 220 people cannot hold a service for 35. On a society level, we are in a time of uncertainty. We do not know who to trust any longer because there are experts on every side of this issue. Experts over here and experts over here. Which expert do we believe? Because I need to make some important decisions and take a direction that is best for me and safest for me and for my family. So who do I believe? And at any given moment, we may be swayed from one side of this issue, which says that this thing is extremely serious and I need to take precautions, to the other side that says, you know what, there's a part of me that just really doesn't care anymore. And quite often, we might find ourselves somewhere in between at any given moment, depending on what we are reading or who we are talking with. Because I've been there myself. Sometimes over here, sometimes over here, sometimes somewhere in between. People are not as friendly as they were when this whole thing started.
Amen.
Thank you. Anxiety levels are rising. The natives are getting restless. In 9 months, the birth rates are going to skyrocket. In a few months, the abortion rates are going to increase dramatically. Domestic abuse and divorce numbers will be on the rise. The ID channel will have plenty of material to use over the next 10 years. When this is all over, adulterous affairs will be commonplace because sin is going to run rampant. Why? Because when this is over and people are given their freedom back, there's going to be quite a few people who are going to think that they have a license to let loose. Satan loves this crisis. He does. And he's trying to get to me, and he's trying to get to you. We are all getting bored, and we're all getting angry because this virus has us held hostage. Or is it maybe just a giant conspiracy by the deep state that has us all held hostage? And all of this uncertainty leads us to be asking a million questions. Some of which, and most of which, or maybe all of which, we just don't have any answers to. But I'm convinced that at least all of us in here, and maybe a lot of other people out there, we are all seeking really the same thing. And it's very simple. We are all just seeking the truth. That's all we want, folks. That's all we want. We want the truth. Because if I know that I have heard and I have the truth, then for me, and probably for you too, life has a little more sanity to it than what we've been going through the past 9 weeks. Decisions will be so much easier to make. And I've been saying it for over the past 12 years here at Beech Grove Church. The truth matters, doesn't it? It matters biblically. It matters in our spiritual life. And now we're finding out that the truth matters even in the world situation. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I don't think we're ever going to find what that truth is. out there. We don't. So, how do we move on? I'll be the first to admit that the condition of this world at this time can consume and it can dominate our thinking and our lives. Look how many lives have changed, and look how many lives have had to make changes because of what we are experiencing. Some of our lives have taken a 180. They haven't taken a 360. Taken a 180. Taken a 180. However, depending on what changes we have made, the believer could be led on a very unprofitable path in his or her Christian walk. Let me say that again. Depending on what changes we have made in our lives during these last 9 weeks, a believer could be led and put on a very unprofitable walk in their Christian walk. And this morning, that's what I'm going to talk about. I want to encourage all of us to put Let's put those million questions aside. Will we just kind of put them aside and let's get back to where our minds and our lives and our hearts really need to be focused? Let's face it. It's way too easy to try to get caught up in the science that they're talking about out there. It's too easy to get caught up in all the debates that are going on out there. It's too easy to get caught up in all the politics that are going on out there. And it's too easy to get caught up in all the conspiracies and that are going on out there during this corona quarantine time. And folks, some of that, and maybe a lot of that, is not healthy in our Christian walk. What would this world be like if we spent just as much time in the Word of God, spent just as much time in praying, just as much time in sharing the gospel as we have on social media, trying to inform others of our opinion, which we want everybody to agree with, which other people really don't care about your opinion or my opinion. And we're not going to change people who disagree with us anyways. What would happen if we spent just as much time doing God's work as we have doing all that work? And it's confession time. You've heard story time with Pastor Mike? Confession time with Pastor Mike. Over these past 9 weeks or so, my focus has not been where my focus really needs to be. I've been consumed by the world, and I have spent way too little time in the Word. Shame on me. But a turning point came for me maybe a week and a half ago. When God kind of woke me up. Actually, kind of smacked me. It was a sanctified type of smack, but he smacked me. There was something in the message that I delivered last week that lingered in my mind and would not go away. And it was this. This was one of the bullets from last week's message. I said this: we're talking about cleaning up unbelieving America. And I said this: cleaning up unbelieving America on the outside decreases our focus on the kingdom of God. There was something about that point as I was writing it and as I was presenting it that kind of really woke me up. Sure, maybe now in today's corona crisis, I'm not trying to clean up America, so to speak. But my primary focus, I will admit to everyone in here, has been on this thing called COVID-19 and my quarantine restrictions, and my focus on the kingdom of God has certainly decreased and has been very lax. My focus on the kingdom of God. And then I said this in the next line. I quoted 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We just read that. Peter starts off his epistle by saying this: to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, as aliens. And I had to focus on that word aliens. And then I made the statement, because I focused on that word aliens, I said this: you know, Augusta County or Nelson County or wherever you may live in the United States of America, in North America, on this planet Earth, this is not my home. My home is in heaven. I am just an alien passing through. And if I can remember that, then there's a very large part of me has to say that I'm going to leave this pandemic and I'm going to leave this country into the hands of Almighty God. And I'm going to focus my efforts on where I know I need to focus my efforts, on the kingdom of God. Mikey needs to change his priorities, because the world can be a very powerful influence, even on people like us who think we are so strong in the faith. But how easy is that exactly to do? Well, let's just face some facts, okay? Come on. We can do it. We cannot. There is no way that we can totally ignore a crisis that is going on out there, because its effects are everywhere. You can't walk away from it. On the other hand, we just can't ignore God either, can we? We cannot do that. We cannot totally ignore God. We cannot totally ignore His Word. We cannot ignore prayer. And we cannot ignore the fact that we have a great commission as Christians to go on out and make disciples of all nations. So I ask, have we been able to successfully, and I'll use this word, balance the two of those? Have we been able to successfully balance the fact that we live in a world and there is a crisis of some sort going on out there, and it is going to affect our lives? So here we have all this that we need to focus on over here. But over here, we are just aliens walking through this world. What about God? What about His work? What about kingdom work? I'm not saying that we totally do this, but we cannot do this either. And I assure you, we are human beings, and it will be way too easy to tip the scales towards focusing way too much on what's happening in the world, because I've been there, and maybe you have too. So this morning, I want to give all of us just some sound biblical advice, because I don't want any of us being overly consumed. Keywords, overly consumed by the world, and be underly consumed by God and His Word. Let's strike up a balance, and let's get our focus where it needs to be. In our bulletin, you have three fill in the blanks. Let's get to the first one. Number one, my position. All three of these words start off with the letter P. I had to keep it simple. What is my position? And it says this: as a Christian, I am a child of God. I am His. Let's remember our position. We must remember this. It says, and Peter says this, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. We are His. And let's remember this. We don't have our claim on God. God has what? His claim on us. And when we think of it in those terms, it makes it a whole lot easier to remember whose we are. God has this, His claim on us. And we need to understand that, because we need to understand whose family we belong to. We belong to His family. We have been adopted into His family. My position, I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. We need to remember who we are. Romans, I believe I have it up there. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 says this: the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, praise the Lord, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God. And do you believe it? We're fellow heirs with Christ. Good news. We're fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. We need to remember who we are. Whatever Christ inherits, we inherit. And I don't know about you, but I don't deserve any of that. But there's a plan of salvation. And those who are in Christ are fellow heirs with Christ. So I need to understand who I am. I understand that I am a child of God. That is my position. And now the second one. What is my place? As a Christian, my home is in heaven. I belong to a new kingdom. What does it say here in Philippians 3:20? And this is also on the front of your bulletin. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, again, I'll repeat it. We are aliens. We're just passing through this place. Our home is in heaven. We have an eternal citizenship in a place that's nowhere around here. We are kingdom children. And Jesus says this in John chapter 18, verse 33, Pilate asked Jesus, are you a king? Are you a king then? And when you get to verse 36, Jesus says this, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. And guess what, folks? We belong to the same kingdom Jesus belongs to. Praise the Lord. So we have to remember, what is our position? We are children of God. What is our place? Well, we live in a different kingdom. We live somewhere else. We live somewhere else. Have we been able to balance our time between being children of the kingdom, which we are, but we're still citizens of the United States of America? Are we not? We are. We're still over here. But we must make sure that we remember this part over here, because too often this part over here gets way too much attention. Let's not be more American than biblical, okay? Let's be more biblical than American. Our position, our place, and last. So now it's decision time. What is our preference? What is my preference? As a Christian, I am in this world, but what? Not of this world. Not of this world. We're not of this world. So we need to ask ourselves this question. Which do we prefer? The world or the word? A little difference that letter L makes, right? The world or the word? We need to choose which one we are going to love more. Is it going to be the world, which is out there, which we have to be in while we're still here? We have no choice. Or is it going to be his kingdom? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, one more verse. And James 4:4 says this, and we know this, there's going to be plenty of verses that talk about the world. You adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, I'm going to have a disclaimer here. Whenever the Bible uses the word world, it's always talking about our sinful nature. So in other words, therefore, whoever wishes to be really friends with the sinful nature makes himself an enemy of God. I understand that's what he's talking about. But the way I want to compare it is this. When we start flirting with the world more than what we spend time in the word, we are asking for trouble. We are asking for trouble. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, kind of say that. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, there's the sinful nature, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Again, the world referring to the sinful nature. The sinful nature is passing away in all of its lusts, but the one who does the will of God will live forever. Folks, I guarantee you, we all know this. These are uncertain times that we live in. And these times that here that we have in 2020 may be some of the most difficult times that we've ever had to find ourselves going through. And I know on one hand, we just cannot put our heads in the sand and say, there's nothing going on. There's something going on. We know that there's something going on. Try going to a restaurant or try buying some toilet paper, right? There's something going on, okay? There's something out there, something. So we can't put our heads in the sand and say, oh, I'm going to totally divorce myself from the world. We can't do that. Our world situation does call for a time and for making wise decisions. Amen? We do need to do that. We are still in this world, so we have to live in this world. But we've been so focused over here. Let's start putting our focus over here, this side. Would we like for those 1 million questions to be just a few questions? Would we all like to make life just a little bit easier? I know I would. Do we want to sleep well at night? I do. How about this one? Do we want not to worry? Here's a good one. Well, if you answered yes to any of those questions, then let's go over those 3 points again. Number one, remember who and whose you are. If you are a believer, you are a child of God. God has his claim on you. Remember that. Number two, remember where your real home lies. It's not here. We are children of the kingdom. And number three, got to make a preference. What's it going to be? You're going to prefer to love the world, or are you going to prefer to love the Word and God? We need to make that choice. I assure you, my friends, the times we're living in are far less difficult than the times the Apostle Paul and Jesus had to live in 2,000 years ago. Tough times, yes. But we'll get through it, because we're going to remember our position, we're going to remember our place, and we're going to make the right preference. Got to leave you with this, one of my favorite verses, Matthew 6, 33 and 34. So how do we get past this? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Where is our focus? Today, I want today to be the start of a better focus, a new focus. A focus that is not so much on the world, but a focus that is more on his word. And the more that we all focus on his word, the fewer questions we're all going to have. And maybe next week's lesson will be two questions instead of a million. Because I'll leave it up to the Lord. Sometimes you can just have enough. Mikey's had enough. I'm so glad to be back in church with people where I can be back into a routine and getting back into this again. Because now I know this, my focus is going to be so much better than what it has been. The world can consume us. Don't let it. Let the Word of God consume us. It's a much better place to be. Let's pray.